Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming on this Friday afternoon. This has been a very trying month for all Iowans. In fact, it was 33 days ago that we began this episode when a tornado ripped through northeast Iowa and took the lives of 8 Iowans. Since that time, our state has experienced one of the worst natural disasters, not only here in Iowa, but in the United States. From tornadoes and storms to rain and flood, we have really been put to a test. And all across the state, Iowans did what they've always done. They stepped up and took care of whatever they needed to. Everywhere you went, we saw Iowans working together and pitching in. There are too many heroes to single out any, but I do want to say that you could see that spirit when we saw 4,000 National Guard soldiers answer the call and defend our communities. We saw it with public health officials, both state and local, when they closed and evacuated more than 100 patients from Mercy Hospital in Cedar Rapids in less than 8 hours as floodwaters were rising in the basement of the hospital. We saw it when thousands of other employees from the Department of Transportation, Public Safety, and many, many others worked long, countless hours to help Iowans. We saw it with local officials and first responders helping friends and neighbors, and we saw it in every Iowan who, when the water was rising and the wind was blowing, asked, "What can I do to help?" That's the real story of this disaster. It's not really about the flooding, it's not about the tornadoes, it's about the people. It's the story of Iowa, people who are working hard, supporting each other with a sense of pride and optimism. We now have to begin to turn our attention to the future, and we will not forget the efforts of those Iowa heroes who lifted us up in the darkest hour. The work is not finished, and we are now beginning the next phase. I would like to introduce my good friend, my partner, who was a tireless advocate for Iowans throughout the storm and continues today to lead Iowa's recovery, Governor Chet Colson.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Governor Judge, and certainly appreciate your leadership during these natural disasters and your continued involvement in the recovery. As the Lieutenant Governor said, Iowans have experienced real challenges since our severe weather began on May 25th. From tornadoes to floods, this has clearly been a difficult time for Iowa. This has been identified as one of the top 10 worst natural disasters in U.S. history. And when all the assessments are complete, it could be in the top 5. That's because the scope of this disaster is massive. Almost 350 towns have been affected, with the effects of the floods reaching nearly 45,000 square miles. In addition, in cities large and small, the human effect of these floods is staggering. 40,000 Iowans were displaced. Untold more had their lives disrupted. In urban areas like Cedar Rapids, there's an estimated $1 billion in damages. Tens of thousands of people were evacuated, and hundreds of businesses remain closed. And in many rural towns, citizens are struggling to just hang on. In many cases, they've lost everything, their homes, their businesses, and their entire communities. Cities like Palo, Chelsea, Oakville, Columbus Junction, and New Hartford, to name a few, are simply devastated. So needless to say, the statewide damage combined in terms of public and private sector loss is projected to be in the tens of billions of dollars. But that's only part of the story. Traveling the state, visiting more than 30 cities, and listening to Iowans, I've seen the resilient spirit of our citizens in spite of immense loss. I've seen optimism in the midst of tragedy, and I've seen generosity, even when so many have lost so much. On a personal note, I want to thank all Iowans for their thoughtfulness to each other, for their prayers, their encouragement, and their generosity. Here's what that means. For the 40,000 Iowans who were displaced, there were 50,000 Iowans who volunteered to help fill sandbags and strengthen levees. These thousands of acts of kindness provided comfort to Iowans in their time of need. And as Lieutenant Governor mentioned, the 4,000 brave soldiers and airmen of the Iowa National Guard were deployed. They worked around the clock to fill sandbags, to build up levees, to help evacuate residents and hospital patients. And along with local law enforcement and the Iowa Highway Patrol, they kept our communities safe. In addition, thousands of state, county, and municipal workers worked overtime. Citizens from all walks of life gave their time, their skills, and their labor in the days after the tornadoes and during the floods to provide comfort and care for those affected by the severe weather. This shows Iowans are at our best when our backs are up against the wall. This sentiment is perhaps best expressed by the well-known minister and author Oswald Chambers. In one of his valuable books, he said, and I quote, "Difficulty doesn't make us faint and cave in. It rouses us to overcome." And we will overcome this challenge. Although the damage to our state is heavy, our collective spirit is strong and remains optimistic. This spirit has served us well in the past, and it will serve us and sustain us today and in the future. Statewide Iowans have responded. Now it's time to rebuild. So today I want to address three key components to our statewide rebuilding efforts. To my first point, our reconstruction efforts will require the experience and talents of Iowans from all backgrounds. As a result, I am issuing Executive Order No. 7, which creates the bipartisan Rebuild Iowa Advisory Commission. This 15-member advisory commission will be chaired by my friend and devoted public servant, Major General Ron Dardis. For four decades, General Dardis has served our state and our country in uniform with distinction. And for the past 8 years, he has led the Iowa National Guard as the Adjutant General. Now I've asked him to serve once again, and I'm grateful to him personally and to his family because he's agreed to take on this important mission. In addition to his duties as Adjutant General of the National Guard, General Dardis will now lead the effort to marshal the talents of Iowans from the private and public sectors. He will also ensure that state government speaks with one voice as our work begins. In the coming days, General Dardis and I, in consultation with members of the legislature and leaders across the state, will work to complete the 14 appointments to the Advisory Commission. And I've asked General Dardis to convene the first Advisory Commission meeting as soon as possible to address three basic points. Number one, the Advisory Commission is directed to report to me and the legislature within 45 days with a complete assessment of statewide unmet needs related to our citizens, schools, businesses, and infrastructure. This report will also include recommendations for the first steps state government should take to address immediate needs and direct the recovery process. Number two, by November 1st, the Advisory Commission is charged with developing a long-term vision for our recovery efforts statewide. This strategy must be inclusive and innovative and is not limited to the actions of state government alone. As we rebuild, we must reach out and make this truly a citizens' effort with the guidance of Iowans from every walk of life. To that end, I'm asking for input, advice, and experience from Iowans in all communities at every level of government and in the private sector too, so we can move forward with the development of this comprehensive strategy. The commission will create a number of task forces to address specific phases of the recovery and rebuilding process. They will include topics such as housing, education, public health, and long-term planning. Number three, the Advisory Commission will continue to advise on the state's ongoing recovery efforts and measure our progress. This will ensure Iowans' needs are being met in every part of our state. To my second point, Executive Order Number 7 will also establish the Rebuild Iowa Office in the executive branch of state government. The mission of the office is very clear: to make sure the state rebuilds safer, stronger, and smarter than ever before. The Rebuild Iowa Office is necessary to both identify and remedy the needs among our citizens in all affected communities. And the needs are great. Communities large and small are reeling from billions of dollars of damages. By recent accounts, the damages to our agricultural sector alone may be as high as $4 billion. And over 23,000 Iowans have registered for federal assistance. Thousands more have applied for state assistance. To date, between the federal government and the state government, nearly $80 million has been distributed to those citizens in need. In the next days, weeks, and months, it's essential that the state of Iowa speak with one voice as our statewide efforts continue. So the office will serve as our administration's primary clearinghouse and coordinator for all state matters related to the recovery. Additionally, the Rebuild Iowa office will work closely with Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division and every state agency to make sure that all resources are identified, deployed, and delivered quickly and as efficiently as possible to all citizens and communities who need them. The office will have the capacity to draw from the best and brightest in our state agencies. It will also serve as Iowa's voice to the federal government while maximizing national resources available to our state. I'm also directing the office to look at other states' best practices in response to natural disasters so we can learn from those who have faced challenges similar before. Finally, the Rebuild Iowa office will provide technical and staff support to the Rebuild Iowa Advisory Commission. To my third and last point, although the Rebuild Iowa office will serve as the chief representative for our state's rebuilding efforts, I want to make one thing very clear. All agencies and state employees are going to be fully engaged in this process. In addition, it will help provide clear communication and coordination with all local governments. Additionally, yesterday I convened my cabinet, and I directed each department director to reassess their agency's budgets for fiscal year 2009. They are now preparing to adapt their budgets to best meet the storm-related needs of Iowans, in addition to the regular duties of their departments. I've also directed each director to report two things to me within 7 days. Number one, I've asked the directors to analyze the impacts of the floods on the Iowans who are served by their departments. Number two, I have also directed our agency directors to identify where their departments can best assist our comprehensive recovery efforts. I have done this to ensure efficiency in state government, to cut through red tape, and to make sure that public safety and recovery remains the top priority of not only our office, but every agency in state government. Rebuilding and recovery will not be easy. We are beginning an effort which could take years. But Iowans know about hard work, and Iowans also understand the importance of patience. So while this is a long process and a hard process, tomorrow will be better than today. With each day, month, and year that passes, we will come one step closer to rebuilding Iowa. And we will be stronger and better as a result. In closing, I want to thank General Dardis once again for answering the call to serve his state. I also want to thank the legislative leadership, both Republican and Democrat, for their support in our common efforts. Most importantly, let me publicly recognize the citizens of Iowa. They have been true heroes in the face of real difficulty. In hardship, the strength of our people has never been more evident. I believe it is also time to remember many of the lessons our faith teaches us. In my faith, the book of Romans tells us, our sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Well, I'm confident that together we will rebuild an even brighter, stronger, and better state. Finally, as governor of the state that we all love, I want to end by simply thanking the citizens who have come together and know that we will rebuild Iowa. We have a collective faith that our best days are ahead of us. Now I will turn it over to General Dardis. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. I am honored to have been asked by Governor Culver to chair the Rebuild Iowa Commission. And I can tell you that I traveled the state with the governor for a number of days. I saw firsthand the magnitude of the devastation throughout the state. We traveled from Decorah to Keokuk and from large cities to rural Iowa. I have observed Iowans helping Iowans in the most difficult of times. It was very heartwarming and inspiring to see the unbreakable spirit that was displayed by the citizens during this disaster recovery. Some communities and Iowans were successful in repressing the floodwaters, saving their businesses, infrastructure, homes, and valuable possessions. Some were not. The common thread among all was that during their efforts, no one gave up. They worked side by side helping each other during this difficult struggle. An incredible challenge lies ahead for all Iowans, and I know Iowans are up to the task. The Iowa Guard responded from Des Moines to Keokuk with more than 4,000 men and women mobilized to protect Iowans and to preserve key infrastructure during the floods of 2008. The support we have received from the people of Iowa during this challenging time is unmatched anywhere. Together with our local, county, state, and federal partners, we have experienced the most successful response phase to our 2008 floods. And it is very important that we transition to the recovery phase in the most effective and efficient way possible. The Rebuild Iowa Initiative provides that foundation for the best possible recovery. I have had the privilege to serve my state and nation in the military for over 40 years. I now have an opportunity to serve the citizens of Iowa in yet another way. I will approach this assignment in the same dedicated manner that I have my entire military career. I appreciate this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the challenge, and I am committed to helping Iowans in every way that I can to recover from this statewide disaster. Iowans' can-do attitude will keep us focused, and together we will succeed in rebuilding an even better and stronger Iowa. Thank you.
We now have a couple of legislators that were good enough to join us. I'll start with Leader Mike Gronstall, the State Majority Leader in the Senate.
Thank you, everybody, for being here today. I think this is a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I've got to tell you, the level of cooperation between and communication between the executive and legislative branch has never been better. We are fully in communication. We've been briefed essentially every day since this thing started by the executive branch, and we are ready, willing, and able to work with this commission, work with the executive branch, and help Iowans find a way to recover. It's going to take us a while to figure out what we need to do in that respect. And I've used the example, and I realize the public is anxious for answers, anxious to know what's going to happen out there. But I heard a story, don't know whether it's true, that somebody pumped out their basement in Palo. When they pumped out the basement too fast after the flood, the basement caved in. We want to make sure our basements don't cave in. We're going to take a reasoned response. We're going to work with this commission. We have given names to the governor and suggestions on people that will be on that commission. We look forward to working with both them and the executive branch to help Iowans move through this crisis. So,
thank you. Thank you very much, Leader Gronstall. Kevin McCarthy, the Majority Leader in the House. Welcome.
Thank you. Very briefly, on behalf of Speaker Murphy and the House Democrats, I want to thank Governor Colville, Lieutenant Governor Judge, for the work they have done thus far. And also, we're very grateful for the selection of General Dardis. I think he will do a great job. And our brief statement, I think, will say that the message I think that's being sent here today to Iowans loud and clear is that even with looming legislative elections coming up just over 4 months from now, with regard to flood recovery, we're going to put people before politics. And as it relates to getting Iowa back on track in its recovery mode, anytime the subject of flood recovery comes up and what our role in the state government is going to do, there will be no politics played. And we're going to work in a bipartisan fashion to make sure that we do rebuild Iowa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leader McCarthy. We had good conversations this morning with Leader Wick and Leader Rantz. Their schedules precluded them from being here today. If they could have been, they would have been. They've been very cooperative. We've worked well together, and they were very happy to hear about the appointment of General Dardis as the leader of the commission. They have also given me names, suggestions for the commission for the 14 additional spots, and we will continue, as I said in my comments, to consult with legislators and with other leaders to fill out that commission. I want to thank Speaker Murphy and also President of the Senate Jack Kibbe, in addition to the Democratic leaders that are with us, for their support, and to all of the members, the 150 members of the legislature, we really appreciate your concern, your thoughts, being with us on the ground as we've traveled the state. It really has brought us all together. Republicans and Democrats have really locked arms, and I expect we will continue to stick together and get the people's work done as it relates to this recovery. With that, any one of us will be happy to take a few questions.
Governor, if I've lost a lot or I've lost everything, what can I expect to see personally as a result of this commission?
Well, I think that, number one, that we care and we understand what people are dealing with, what communities are faced with in terms of challenges, which families and business owners are having to go through. Individuals, we've talked to them. I've been in shelters. I've visited countless communities, and I think that the point is we are establishing this commission on behalf of every person and every community that has been impacted, so that we can efficiently respond to their needs in a very coordinated, thoughtful way, whether it's short term or long term, and that. We want to be their champion. We really want to help these people as quickly as humanly possible to get them back on their feet, to help them recover from this devastating natural disaster. We have had very good discussion with our federal partners, as General Dardis noted, ongoing daily conversations. There is a joint field office in Urbandale that has been established where all of the federal agencies are. Our hope is that our recovery office will co-locate with them. So the point is that we will have to have continued discussion and communication and coordination. I yesterday just asked again to encourage the administration to get back to us as quickly as possible on our request related to the percentage, the 100% funding request for things like debris removal. We're hopeful that in the coming days we'll get an answer, and we will continue to be very aggressive in our ask. I really appreciate how hard they have tried to work with us. I think it is a genuine effort to partner with the state of Iowa and with local communities. FEMA alone has hundreds of employees on the ground. We've had a number of representatives from the administration, including the president himself, come to the state. So I really do feel good about the fact that we're off on the right foot. However, we have a long haul ahead of us, and we're going to need that full support from everyone in Washington, but in particular this administration and the next administration. Well, as I said, it will be an executive branch office. General Dardis will help in terms of getting that office established and set up with other commission members. We will have, hopefully, within the next week, an office up and running with staff. We will borrow staff from other state agencies. For example, we've talked to the Iowa Finance Authority. They are prepared to give us immediately their best housing expert, and that housing director, if you will work out of the recovery office. That is also going to be the case with the Department of Transportation, with the Department of Natural Resources. We will pull immediately. That's why I directed the agencies to get back to me within 7 days of staff that they can essentially lend to the recovery office. And then we will appoint an executive director who will coordinate that on that office on a daily basis.
General Dardis, sort of leafing back through history, it occurs to me that the military had a deep role in rebuilding Japan. Is there a case in the United States where a state National Guard leader such as yourself has been asked to, lead the rebuilding effort of a state?
I guess I'm not familiar with anyone that they have. Like I said, I'm excited about the opportunity. This is this clearly is a statewide disaster, but I think it's an opportunity for the state to rebuild the best way that we can and do it right, and hopefully have a better Iowa in the future. But I am not aware of anyone that has taken on that task. No.
This sounds like at least a 12-hour day ahead of you. What are you going to do for the other 12 hours?
Well, that's a good question, and I will just tell you that I expect that it's going to take a considerable period of time, but I'll also tell you that we have a good team. The Iowa Guard is a solid organization and a good team, and I have folks that will step up and that will provide that leadership and help out in my absence, if you will. But I'll still be doing both. I understand there'll be some long days, but I'm okay with that.
Precedent for this kind of commission after a natural disaster, either here in the state or in other states, or is this going to kind of evolve as we go over the next few weeks and months?
Well, I think there was a similar model with General Tommy Thompson after the 93 floods. I've had very good discussions with Governor Branstad. I consulted with him about the 93 floods and the response, so we do have some benchmark, if you will, and in that case the legislature was involved. The roughly $15 million was spent, but this is going to far exceed the 93 flood, and it'll pale, unfortunately, in comparison. This is literally going to be one of the top 10 worst natural disasters in the history of the United States. It's possible it'll be top 5. And when I say that, I'm comparing FEMA-eligible damage. So for the Northridge, California earthquake, for example, there was roughly $1.5 billion damage in FEMA eligible alone. That means public infrastructure, city buildings and county buildings. That's how Iowa will rank. We'll be over $1 billion in all likelihood in just FEMA eligible recovery. However, as General Dardis said, there's not been anything like this in terms of scope. 45,000 square miles. Katrina is certainly a similar type of event, more destruction in terms of financial damage and devastation. But to think about 340 separate cities, 1,500 miles of roadways that are significantly damaged, tens of thousands of more that were impacted, but 1,500 miles of roads that need serious repair or complete repair, 400 miles of rail lines, dozens and dozens of bridges, railroad bridges, normal county road bridges out, major highways with infrastructure challenges, and on and on and on. So it's very different. There's no other similar type of experience. All nine river basins throughout the state were at all-time record highs. Some of those river basins were as high as were as wide as the Mississippi River for hundreds of miles. So I think we're not trying to be alarmist here. We're just trying to get the facts out about the magnitude of this natural disaster. And it wasn't one event. It was three tornadoes, and it was massive flooding over 3 weeks. And that's what we're dealing with now, in terms of the cleanup and the rebuilding effort. And we will overcome, we will figure this out, but it's going to take a lot of leadership, and there's not a more capable leader to take on the chairmanship of this commission. And I want to make it clear, he is going to be chairing the commission. He's not going to be the executive director of the Rebuild Iowa office. There will be two separate entities, but they will work very closely together. So it will not be necessarily a full-time, every day, all day job, but it will require a significant amount of time, and he will work with the 14 other members of the commission on a very regular basis, especially initially, to get this the plan together. Well, we put the 45-day report requirement in the executive order because that would allow us to have a special, if necessary, in the middle part of August. And after consulting with legislative leaders, they agreed that if we need to have one, that would probably be the best time, in sometime in August. We also need time to completely do the assessments. We have hundreds of people working around the clock to try to specifically identify the amount of damage in every city affected and every county. And that's a major challenge that will require some time. And then that's why we think that 45-day period is a good one. Meanwhile, with Lieutenant Governor's help, we will all be focusing almost 100% of our time on the immediate need. So making sure those folks in Palo and Oakville and Cedar Rapids that need a place to live find a place to live. And the Lieutenant Governor has been very engaged specifically on the housing challenge. And actually, we're making some real progress working with FEMA. For example, in Cedar Rapids, within 20 days, they will have temporary homes for 300 to 700 people. They've identified where. We're moving as quickly as we can with FEMA, and we're in the meantime finding alternative lodging, whether it's hotel, apartments, for thousands of people.
Sounds like this commission and this office will last for a couple of years. Is that what you're
I think it will be years. And we need to know that as General Dardis said, this is not going to be easy. This will take a lot of time, a lot of effort, and all the resources that we can find. City, state, county, federal, and private sector, and nonprofit. And that's the other highlights the other very important need for both the commission and the office. We have to coordinate all of that. We have to leverage those resources to the maximum possible extent, and that's going to take a lot of thought in terms of financing options and legislature involvement and working with the congressional delegation and local governments. But we're ready to get to work, which is why we're making this announcement today.
So you can get supplemental funding, you're hoping, at a potential special session before the summer?
Well, we will in all likelihood come to the legislature with the commission's report, and they will recommend steps that the legislature should consider to help us rebuild the state. We'll have to talk about funding, whether it's the office long term or helping individuals or communities across the state. But I think we've had very good discussions about our willingness to meet if and when we know exactly what will be asked and required. Thank you all. Thank you.